Well, I'm Buzz Knight. I'm the host of the Taking a Walk podcast series, and I'm over the moon thrilled to be here in Nashville for a series of Taking a Walk episodes. And I hope you follow us wherever you find your podcasts, Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever. Today, our guest is a singer-songwriter who is on a roll with his third release on Triple Tiger Records, self-titled LP3. Russell Dickerson is our guest on Taking a Walk. Welcome, Russell.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, how long do I have to know you before I can say RD?
3 seconds.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Just like everyone in Nashville, you make me feel at home immediately.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from the Boston area.
God, I hear it now.
No.
Boston.
Oh, please. Oh.
Just when you said Boston.
I didn't grow up there. I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut. So okay. Outside of New York City.
Still up there.
Yeah, still up there.
It was way up there.
Still considered up there. So, congratulations on the role you are on.
Thanks, man.
Do you feel the pressure of trying to top yourself after your recent success and then when your next success happens?
I mean, yeah, I guess a little bit, but not like exciting pressure, you know? Like, if we never hit the mark again, like, we've had a great run, but, you know, there's definitely more to come for sure. And it's just an exciting pressure to even have this much success in the first place, you know? So, yeah, a little bit, but I like it. I like pressure.
I think people use that energy of pressure mostly to their advantage. Some people freak out about it, but I think it sounds like you've got it well under control.
Yeah, absolutely.
RD.
I do. Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
So you're a student of the 90s and the 2000 country star scene.
Absolutely.
Tell me about some of those influencers for you.
I mean, first and foremost, Garth Brooks. You know, that would be my number one. Just the songs, the entertainment aspect. Like, I love the live show aspect of my career and put everything into that. And I learned that from him. Like, to see his tours and his theatrics and his performances, like, I think that's why he's still selling tickets, selling out stadiums to this day, is that connection with the fan in the live environment. And so that's probably the most foundational influence in my music. And then Tim McGraw is probably number two of the songs and the voice, you know, like his. I got to tour Tim McGraw all summer this year, and just to watch him and to be on tour with one of my heroes was insane. I learned so much. And third would probably be, I mean, Michael Jackson. Uh-oh. What?
Curveball. Curveball.
Yeah. I love Michael Jackson, man. I love his, like, the percussiveness of his music and his songs and just the epicness of his songs and obviously stage presence as well.
So in terms of performers, though, that you've seen, obviously, you'd rank Garth, Tim, and then did you ever see MJ in performance?
No, never saw MJ live. I wish. Stage presence? Yeah, I mean, Keith Urban is way up there for me, too. Like, the epitome of entertainer, for sure. And how he does it, playing guitar as well, is, like, mind-blowing to me. He does such a great job.
So when you were out with Tim McGraw, what did you learn, even by osmosis, from a guy like that while you were with him a lot?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, he always said it's all about the songs. Songs are the first step to anything else. And that really stuck with me. And second was, me and my wife talk about it, we call it, like,
Tim McGraw on stage, he just sticks it. And because me, I'm all over the place. I'm over here, I'm over there, I'm out front, I'm in the back, I'm on the drums, you know, whatever. And Tim McGraw just goes out there, sticks it, he'll just like nod his cowboy hat or something, and everybody just loses it, you know? And I'm like, dang, there's something so powerful about just like owning the moment and owning the song and just standing there. Because when I first started performing, like, nobody knew who I was, nobody knew my song, so I had to go out there and entertain them in some way. And so I was like, all right, well, we're just going to put on a great live show. And then, you know, as things build and people, you know, start having as I have a couple hits and stuff, I realize that, like, I can just stick it now. Like, they know the song. I don't have to, you know, teach them the lyrics or do anything to egg them on. Like, they're here to hear these songs. And so I really learned that, especially with, like, Yours and Love You Like I Used To, more of the ballad-leaning songs. Like, just stick it, man. Let them sing it. Sing to them and just own that moment.
Is it a bit like the zone, like athletes talk about?
Absolutely.
When you're performing?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Like, there's this just, like, adrenaline takeover that happens.
Do you ever get out there and then go, it doesn't feel completely right at this moment, but I'm going to pull it off. It's not going to deter me. Is there ever moments that you have to, like, call an audible?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, we'll have, depending on crowds, and, you know, we've always got little, like, changes built in that we can like, hey, let's skip to this song because I feel like they would vibe that, or like, you know, this song. Yeah, I don't know, like, we have stuff built into our set to where we can tweak on the fly and, you know, call an audible and be like, oh dude, what about this song? Like, let's pop this one in there. I think they'd love it. Or yeah,
and there's enough of a camaraderie, obviously, with your band and the whole close-knit nature that everybody can kind of read the signs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How much fun is it, though, being out there?
Oh, I love it. That's my favorite part about it. Like, just especially now, like, having, well, even with Tim McGraw, we had a 50-minute set, and this was the first time ever in my career that I was able to play. A majority of my set was hits. That's the first time that's ever happened for me. And it's just a whole different ballgame now to go out there and start off with Home Sweet and then go straight into Every Little Thing and then, you know, play a couple songs and then boom, Yours, and then Love You Like I Used To, Blue Tacoma. She liked, like, just, it was this new experience for me as a performer to have a majority of my set songs that people knew, because for so long nobody knew anything. Like I said, it's like you just had to keep going and teach it to them, or just play it and hope they like it. But yeah, that was an amazing experience with Tim McGraw, that people knowing all the songs.
Do you remember your first performance in concert?
Poof. The first one, like, full band, I think, that I remember was playing my hometown's county fair. I think that was the first time. I got a bunch of my buddies together. We hopped in my aunt's RV. We drove 3 hours. We piled everybody in, the family, everybody. And
how many people did you fit?
Oh, gosh. I mean, probably at least 12. There was, like, 6 people in the band. And we just played the county fair. And, you know, I had like 3-4 songs at the time, so we played a bunch of covers and all that stuff. And that was like the first, like, Russell Dickerson show, I think. Nobody would book me, obviously, but, you know, I knew people in my hometown that would let me play the fair.
Did you ever have doubts early on?
No. Not really. It was never like, is this ever going to happen? It was just like, when? Like, how long? How? Especially further down the road, like, before, you know, like 20, 14, 15, even 16, like when, you know, we've been grinding and like, when is it going to pop? Like, what's the tipping point? And you just got to keep writing, keep playing, keep hustling. And then we had Yours come out, and then it all changed from there.
But as a man of great faith, you know, if there's low moments, mm-hmm. you call upon faith, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Got to have faith in something greater than yourself, you know. Faith in God and faith in yourself, and that's what I think kept me going this whole time.
Well, let's talk about a difficult time, the years of, as we would call it, the pandemic years. Mm-hmm. How difficult was that as a creative artist?
Yeah, I mean, I think it came at, for me personally, it came at such a, there's two ways to look at it. Like, as I'm on the rise, you know, as I'm coming up, it's like, boom, shut down. But also, I think I needed it so bad because this was, I mean, we started probably 2013, 14, like touring all the time. And so this is year seven of just grind. And I didn't realize how much I needed that just to not be touring 4 days a week and be home and just enough to do laundry. And it really gave me time to think and reflect and prepare and kind of catch my breath with this new album, honestly. I feel like this is the first album where I really go back in time and dig up old memories from high school and college and all that stuff. So it really did give me time to reflect. And I mean, my wife was pregnant all of 2020. We had our son in September, and it was just like such a perfect time to be home and be there together and just prepare for parenthood.
Yeah, my sense is creatively, you really used it during that time to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly. I was finishing up Southern Symphony, my second album. That was, everything was already recorded, so we were just mixing and mastering. So that was like the first part of the pandemic. And then after that, man, I just really tried to, I mean, yes, I did get stir crazy because we couldn't perform and it was frustrating, but I knew, I kept telling myself, I'm like, dude, you're going to wish you had this time off it come 2021, 22. And I do, I would love a week off right now, you know, I would love that. And so, yeah, it's just like, it really was a time to just accept the fact that no one can tour, no one can play, and just make the best of it and really kind of hibernate and just store up for, you know, for the years to come.
So walk me through the songwriting process. You had a lot of great collaborators on, all your releases, but this one in particular, mm-hmm. one that I noted was Lori McKenna.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
legend.
So walk me through a typical day in the songwriting process with somebody like a Lori McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's so different. It's so varying. With Lori, she lives in Connecticut. She lives somewhere up northeast. Boston.
I know, had a Boston area.
Okay,
Boston. For a while.
Yeah. So it was me and Casey, my producer, and we were at his house, and she zoomed in. And first time ever writing with Lori, super excited, kind of nervous, you know, and like I'm a connection person, so it's like I never really got down with the Zoom rights and everything. I'm like, I need to be in person. But she's just so calming and so easygoing and know like, all right, let's go, let's get this song, whatever. She just down with the process. And I don't know who had the song title, but we just kind of started playing. I started playing this progression on the guitar, and somebody had, maybe it was Casey had the title idea, and I just that's just when I feel like I kind of if I catch onto a song idea, I can sing a chorus just down, like hopefully, you know, with something worth saving. And yeah, we just kind of started building, like thinking about all the little cute things that my wife does and the things that make me smile and that I love about her. And we just like kind of just built this song, obviously from nothing. And yeah, I was like, wow. After the ride, I was like, wow, she really is Lori McKenna, you know? Like she's just that good. And it was so easy. And
And which song was that?
Just Like Your Mama.
Yeah.
The last one on the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think you'll collaborate with her again?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it about this Nashville community that is so tight-knit and collaborative and welcoming? What makes it so special?
I just think how real everybody is. Like, other places, they're so self-seeking, and I think Nashville is just like, yeah, we're songwriters, we're in the business. It's like, that's not the ultimate achievement in life. Like, kids and family and marriage and faith and like all of this stuff comes into play, and I just feel like people in Nashville have realized that like a number one hit is not the end all be all to happiness. You know, it's like having a grounded life, having community around you. And I just think there's a lot of humility in this community that is appreciated and practiced.
So there's a regular listener of this podcast that is at the favorite Italian restaurant in my hometown called Fiorella's. Her name's Sheridan.
Sheridan, yes.
And Sheridan's a fan.
Come on.
In particular, she likes it.
Yeah.
Loves that. So Sheridan got a shout out. She's going to be pretty thrilled. So tell me about that song and sort of the collaboration on that one.
Yeah. So I met Jake through Josh Kerr, who produced a third of this record. And he posted a song that him and Jake wrote. I was like, dude, this is so good. We got to write. And he came to town once. We wrote a great song. Came back again, and the second song we wrote ever together was She Likes It. And it was just like, it was so easy and fun, obviously, just like the song. And when we were done, so my studio is just down the hill from our house. And we go back up to the house, and my wife never listens to music, like, over the speakers, and like, she's cooking dinner. And we walk in, and she's playing John Denver on the speakers right after we wrote this song, talking about playing John Denver on the speakers. Like, I was like, what is happening? This is not real. And so that was just a fun, like, kind of confirmation of like, hey, this song might be something. And that was just like, yeah.
Wow, what a moment.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, crazy.
That is outrageous.
Yeah.
Why is music so special? Why is music such a unifying, special force in our life? Can you get to the bottom of this? Because I can't.
I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like music is the only thing. Music and film, I think, are probably the only two like consumable things that can give you like the chill bumps and tears, and there's some sort of like vulnerable storytelling aspect, I think, with music that just like can touch your soul that like any other form of media can.
I think that's pretty pretty right
on.
It's
a deep question.
Yeah, I often think, where would we be without it? Yeah. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. as beings on this mm-hmm. earth for as long as we've been here, and mm-hmm. it moves us, it shakes us.
I think it's just inside of every human. Like, if you even go back to cave days, you know, they were making drums and they were making music back then. Like, it's something that has to come out of us. And as an artist, like, so many guys have come up to me and like, dude, yours is exactly what I want to say to my wife, but I didn't know the words to say. And there's just like something inside of them that is let out through the music that I created.
What would you have done if you weren't a musician?
Probably be a sommelier. I love wine. That or just like a serial entrepreneur.
You didn't flinch when you said the sommelier, so. Yeah.
I'd do something with wine.
You would?
I'd be a winemaker or a, that'd be amazing. Just live in Napa Valley, run a farm, make some wine. have a black lab with me all the time running through the vineyard. Sounds like the life, dude.
It's quite a scene.
Yeah.
Right? Top three John Denver songs of all time. You don't have to rank them, just...
I will. Annie's Song, number one. That's one of the best songs ever. Then I'll go... Two is tough. Sunshine on My Shoulder, maybe.
Not a bad one.
I'm just thinking of the ones that give me the most feels. That one, and then Leaving on a Jet Plane. Probably be my top three.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, it's hard
they're
to,
all
it's hard to
yeah.
You know, that's why
Country
I said,
Roads wasn't even in there.
I know. You could do five.
Yeah. Country Road, and then, did I say Rocky Mountain High yet?
No.
That's it. Top five. Boom.
Russell Dickerson, thanks for being
here. Absolutely,
Taking a Walk.
Man. Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Me. Yes.
Thank you.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.